James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got a great show tonight. We've got the trilogy here, or the Three Musketeers, you might say. And it's we've got East Eddy here in Trolic, Washington. We've got Jay Seti from Japan and Australian East Eddy Oz here as well. So we've got Greg Sullivan and Peter Maxwell Slattery on the show. I had a little bit of housekeeping to come up with first, but don't forget about Soul Tech. I'm not sure if it's sold out yet. It very well may be, but definitely go to eastedievents.com to check out the Soul Tech conference coming up next week. It's going to be amazing. And the energy here on the land is just off the scale right now. We walked out and saw like eagles, hawks, and vultures all flying together in a circle right above the ranch, which is really uncommon. You just don't see those things. And a deer came crossing right across the Skywatch field. And it's like it walked right up to us, it seemed like. It was amazing. Checked us out and did a little dance and took off. And I went out towards the medicine wheel and hung out in the medicine wheel for a while. So there's a lot of incredible energy happening here. We just got through a huge thunderstorm that I've never seen so much water come down. It's like instant flood, but the land needed it. It's been really dry, so I'm sure the sheep and goats are happy. We have another new addition. We just had a little baby lamb that was born, and it looks like Petey, you know, on the Little Rascals. It's got the big black circle on its eye. It has little white boots, you know, and it's the most cutest little lambs I've ever seen. But a lot of that's happening here. We're having some amazing things. The show tonight, we wanted to cover, there's so many subjects going on right now with all of us. We're all working on some major documentaries and have a lot of events going on. So I wanted to start off with Greg Sullivan with Jay Seti and hear what's happening in Japan as far as Jay Seti, and also talk about your experiences here that you've had here since you've been here and with your group.
Hi, James. Thanks. It's good to be back this year. It's our first visit. I think this is probably year seven now. It's going to be of our tour from Japan. But yeah, it's every year, just things keep spiraling upwards and upwards. The energy is getting, it's getting clearer than it ever was. And the sightings and contact is getting easier for all sorts of people to access, I think. So it's great to see, you know, even on just a regular weekend like this, so many visitors at the ranch and everything. Yeah, congratulations. We're here this time with our cameraman. Last time we were here at the end of last year, there was actually an early snow on the ground. So we didn't really see the mountain at all. But we're back again this summer, and we've been getting a whole ton of great footage. Right now our cameraman's out in the field with a drone. So
yeah,
he's got that beautiful evening light here he's shooting. It's been an amazing year, 2018 so far. with Jay Seti in Japan, and we've been, you know, I kind of was hibernating sort of through the winter and fall, finishing up projects. We wound down the Contact Has Begun. We were screening the Japan release of the East Seti film all through last year, and we had our first final screenings this winter and into the fall, spring rather. And then one thing after another, you know, it's now we broke into summer with the heavy rains over there in Japan, similar to like we just had here. And that coincided with a new project that we started this year with a documentary that's going to be covering work and light workers in Japan and also our contact work over there. So we've got a great shaman and healer called Rena with us on this trip.
Yeah,
she's been guided to come here. And we just, 2 weeks ago, we did a major clearing of both Nagasaki and Hiroshima, which was super intense. And this enormous flooding and rains that people might have seen on the news, that preceded our trip by just a day or two. So the day we both left our homes, the downflow, the downpour started, and this kind of like water element, you know, kind of swept our path, swept the path for us up there. And then, basically we started off the project. She lives in Okinawa, which is a really spiritual place, the southern part of Japan. And she's on one of the most spiritual places in all of Japan called Kudaka Island. And so you have to be recognized as one of the festival participants, like a shamanic, one of the shamans of the original, you know, Ryukyu Empire. And most of them are women over there, actually. So it's a rare kind of shamanic culture that's going on there. Mm-hmm. She's one of the head of the new generation. And so we did work over there over in January, and she does tours of what they call the Utaki, all these different power spots and places, sacred places all over the Okinawan Islands. So that was amazing.
She's checked out the power spots here.
So yeah, that she's nice. Totally. The whole interesting thing about the collaboration is, you know, with they're real big into the ancestral spirits, and obviously mm-hmm. they work with the nature spirits and elementals. So she's very in tune to that stuff, and it's been the whole idea of the collaboration is two light workers who were originally in different fields, different genres, and where we actually connect. So it's amazing to see her, who has this really open sixth sense and everything, come completely fresh into the ET contact world. Mm-hmm. And even before we had a lot of time to talk together, actually different guides were coming to her in dreams and meditation.
And the felines
explaining,
were coming.
Yeah, felines especially, yeah. So yeah, that's an ongoing project, and we've kind of wound up here as our third location. So it's I think we did some major follow up with the group clearing session the other day, with both the healing of the spirits and from the World War II. You know, that's part of what her specialty is.
Yeah.
The victims of the as you might know, you know, Okinawa was at the front lines of when the American fleet came, and they were almost sacrificed by their own country. So there's a lot of animosity against mainland Japan as well, mm-hmm. still there. So, and then of course with the ongoing U.S. military presence and stuff, there's a lot of issues there. So we did a huge clearing on the ancestors there, mm-hmm. and then following up with the atomic bombs. That was an enormous. I was a little bit wary as to even. It's such a taboo. You know, it's such an enormous. The global kind of task to get involved with, but we were guided, divinely guided the whole way, and I took a picture of just after we did the both of the sites. I was flying on a plane, and I saw over the area like this enormous nimbus cloud that had this tabletop flat top, and I was instantly kind of was like a sign of saying, oh yeah, you guys did the right thing. It was your work was your prayers here were well received, you know.
It seemed like the same day I took a picture of this really bizarre, and it looked just like the one you did, and it's like synchronous. The same time, yeah, the synchronicity of
my birthday just a few days before
yours. Yeah.
The other big thing that happened was I just had the picture up here, was that on May 27th of this year in Dorset, England, one of the earlier crop circles of this year was very similar to our logo mark. The J-City logo has four large circles and then four in the middle. And this was actually the one-year anniversary to an event we did last year with 700 people in the field, a huge contact event in Japan. And so, believe it or not, some friends of ours from Japan were in the circle. I was about to make a post online saying, you know, 1 year ago we did this amazing event, and all of a sudden this message comes in saying, we're in this amazing circle, and take a look. It looks like the J-City logo, you know. So there were, if you look online, the one from May in Dorset is it appeared at the foot of an antenna, like a TV tower. And so the people in England who researched it and filmed it with their drones and everything, they said they had no idea about our event, and they said this has got to be something to be involved with ET and human contact. Because the part of the circles looked like radar dishes as well, mm-hmm. so it was a really cool. That was a really amazing confirmation from the guides and the ETs again. Mm-hmm. They're supporting everything we do. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. There's so many things going on. What we're doing is we're working on. I'm not going to tell you the title of it yet because somebody will probably steal it. But we're going to do a documentary. A couple of them. We're going to do the Contact Has Begun too.
That'd be good.
We're working on that.
Yeah.
And then the second one we're working on is one where we're going to really bring out the top people in the field and ask the tough questions like, you know, why haven't we progressed in the field of ufology? You know, why are we still trying to prove they exist? And why are we still living in the past and not going anywhere? And what's holding this up? You know, what's blocking this information from coming forward? And I know you've had a lot of resistance there, so
yeah,
maybe get your take on that. What do you think is holding back the fact that they are here, they've always been here, and get into the real messages on who are they and how can they assist our our civilization here, and you know, why do you think that's being ignored, you might say?
Yeah, that's a huge question. There's so many layers to it, and I think everyone here probably can imagine with all the disinformation out there, and the first layer of, you know, the media is being used to dam up and shore up a lot of the truth coming out is pretty obvious to people. But we've discovered not only that, we've dealt with a lot of offensive counterintelligence, counterattacks from all levels of media. Recently, there's another level to it that we get into with in Japan, is that they've had this, a friend of mine coined this term, occult business.
Yeah.
And in Japan, they really have it separated where this occult field is really more like the scarier stuff, like ghosts and super, and sort of like grotesque, sort of surreal tales from the crypt type of stuff. And then there's a really popular magazine there called Moo that's been going for like almost 30 years. It's a total industry standard. And so we're trying to come in with this brand new information and the light side, the spiritual contact, and that's going up against their 30-year history of, like, you know, if that's going to turn the tables and show that everything they've done is not only either fake or just really lower dimensional entities and stuff. So that's one part of it. And then there's the people who have built their careers on that. So there's in Japan, we also deal with the kind of the younger generation has to spend the time to get up to that level of influence. So I've had a lot of, that's an easy way for the people who have been in the control system to keep their influence. We actually, just last week I was there's a producer who, they had the most UFO shows in any place in the world was in Japan, actually. And the guy, you know, we've dealt with his issues in different sessions. There's quite a character who's like the Don, this disinformation ring. And he's got all his, so the person who made the show with him, I met his son, and he actually came to our contact work last week. And that family is heavily involved with Buddhism, so they're definitely not as invested as this other guy, but they're trying to now kind of use us to cover their own tracks, cover their CYA, you know, so it's like, it's all the same thing. We've been doing, you know, disclosure and contact all this time, right? And it's like, no, you know, you've been doing, everything you've shown on TV was found to be 80%+, you know, fake or CIA disinformation. So that's, they're really trying to, it's the final stand. It's really the last stand on this.
We have that here. We, you know, we call it the Good Old Boys Network, you know, and their thing is keep it in the past. You know, they're still dealing with Roswell.
Roswell and Area 51.
And keep it far away, you know. And Billy Bob was standing on feeding his pigs, and he saw a ship go over and fell off. Stuff like keep it fearful. You know, that's the whole program. And they don't want to cover a lot of the Native American and the elders' stories about who they are. And I know there's so many different people here. We had Clifford Mahudi here just recently, and he talked about the Zuni interactions with them, who they are and their ancient stories and everything else. And it's quite interesting when you get to the ancient cultures and you find out that they actually are our ancestors. They are returning. You know, I'll go my take on it. I'll wait till the end. I'll tell you my take on why. I'm pretty sure why they don't want this information out.
Well, the why is the biggest thing. I mean, of course, there's the all the suppressed answers to our modern problems, whether it's medical energy and
exactly.
financial and everything. So there's so many interests in blocking that. And then, of course, there's the spiritual awakening. That's the final Rosetta Stone, where it's like, you know, once we have that spiritual awakening through contact, but then with contact, it's all the other parts fall into place really fast. So,
great. Awesome.
Yeah.
Let's get Peter's take on what's happening over in Australia.
Over in Australia.
Down under.
So you've sort of pulled me out of hibernation because it's winter there right now.
Yeah.
And I came over here 3-4 weeks ago for the conference, and I'm back again. So thanks for having me. And just quickly shout out to Gloria, Alex's mum. We said we're going to say shout out to her tonight. And congrats to you on 10 years.
Thank you.
JC.
Thank you. Yeah,
thanks, Peter. Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Australia, like, we're sort of quiet at the moment just due to the weather and that, but there is a lot going on in Australia in terms of sightings and contact and just the people waking up in general, noticing, you know, things like you go back to even the 90s, they would say the police wouldn't do this or the government wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Just the mundane things people are looking at now, and they know that things aren't what they seem. So, you know, especially the east coast of Australia down to Melbourne is very, very open. They know, a lot of people know this is a reality. It's sort of nuts if you don't think, you know, and it's not a blind belief thing. They just know we're not the only one. So there's been a lot, as you know, in terms of I've been featured in a documentary that's going to be coming out soon, that Samuel Hutchinson's been working on. This, he's going to push to go as mainstream as possible. So that's been a really big thing that we've been working on with, and I've got metal samples, soil samples, photographic and video evidence, all that sort of stuff. Again, it's just the bait to come into the conscious subject, yeah, which is what it's about. But yeah, there's been a hell of a lot going on.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've, you know, with Peter, I went and stayed there in Australia for what, almost 3 months, I think it was. Just under 3 months. And we hung out with the King of the Raven Tribe and got initiated there and had thousands of ravens show up. And it was crazy stuff going on. And got to see the Janabi and all these other crazy beings over there. But I've never seen so much activity anywhere, basically. Just you walk out in his backyard and he's got ships flying over on a regular basis. And Peter has probably some of the best evidence, if not the best evidence on the planet that I've seen. And, you know, total undeniable ships. You can see the structures of the ships. He's got Pleiadians appearing in his house, you know, and he's got photographs of that. You know, I can go on every kind of ship you can think of, every color, every, you know, light ships morphing, beans, the wispies are running all around there. And, you know, and what's sad now, this is what I see too, is when I was over there, I saw a lot of the heat you're getting and a lot of the resistance in the UFO community over there. And what's sad is that you have the best evidence. You have probably the highest knowledge there of what's really going on. And below, you're experiencing extreme resistance in the field.
There's been a lot of government involvement around the world and there as well. But, you know, originally when all this came out, I didn't ask. Well, I know on another level I did, but, you know, I was thrown on evening news and then morning news and all this stuff, and I wasn't prepared what was going to come with it. But there seems to be a blackout, and I think it's because, especially with the UFO groups, that we've done a lot of stuff over there. I can't be controlled in terms of a lot of these researchers or UFO groups. They just care about the nuts and bolts, not what you're actually going through, not losing jobs, losing friends, losing family, going through financial hardship. Everyone's going through something tough, but they don't care about that sort of stuff, and I couldn't be their story because my story was public before any UFO group got a hold of me because of what I was experiencing. And so I think part of it's because I can't be anyone's little puppet within a UFO group saying, yeah, look at me, I'm a poor abductee and this has happened to me, because I skipped all that and went straight to the masses, I didn't expect it to go to millions of people straight away, but I was thrown in the deep end. So with that, there has been controlled opposition. But, you know, like I was told by the beings, that who's meant to come across this information, they'll come across this information.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has been hard, but I've had, you know, your support, which has been monumental, and my family's support, and, you know, people like yourself as well. You know, this is where we're just one big family, and, yeah, that's what it's about, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It was quite interesting. We had you know, a good indicator when we were at earlier there, and we were out on this little sky deck, our little deck out in the middle of nowhere, watching all the ships fly over. And some guy comes out, and he's dressed really nice, and he's got his Rolex watch and everything, and on, he's really looking, you know, shiny shoes and everything. I'm not sure if this guy was actually sent there just to check us out, what we're doing.
Yeah.
And this huge ship comes over, comes right over us, and I go, hey, check it out, like this. And the guy goes, yeah, right. I go, it's a big UFO. And he goes, yeah, right. And he just walks off. he just walks off. And, you know, I was wondering, I go, what was that about? You know, it was like, was this guy sent out to just check on us and see what we're doing, or spy on us or whatever? Or
to get more donuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, more donuts.
Yeah, but, you know, you have people like that. It's, you know, we're standing out there. We're all this right in your face, this massive ship coming over. and we filmed it. It'll probably be in the documentary and everything, but we filmed it, and amazing. But, you know, it's like the guy just goes, he wouldn't even look up at it. He just goes, yeah, right, and turned around and walked away, you know, and we do have that. We have that element out there. But the sad thing in the UFO community, there is a lot of planned opposition, and there is a lot of controlling the narrative. And we've seen that over and over. Even the free energy movement, there's people out there saying that they're here to get the free energy. They get all the funding. And the other thing is controlling the funding, too. So the funding is locked up. The narrative is locked up. And the guys that are really getting the most funding and everything are not who you think they are. And we've seen that happen again and again. And you're never going to see the free energy come out. You're never going to see disclosure. It's not going to happen. And the real disclosure is coming from the skies, and it's coming from just your down-home people that are having the experiences. And it's basically the cover-up is over. I mean, it's a total fail. I don't know why they even continue with it. They just look really stupid. You know, 99% of the people now in Texas believe UFOs are real, and there's a government cover-up. So what's the point, you know, in continuing?
It's like I've said to you, if a bird lands on the front lawn, do you need to ring up the police and go, can you come around and tell me if this is a bird on my front lawn?
Yeah.
I guess like people are looking outside themselves for confirmation on, you know, it's just, but that's the way the programming's being done. It's very smart. And,
oh yeah,
you know, we're deprogramming ourselves, I guess.
Well, we got a guy named Ryan. I can't remember his last name, but
Warner.
Warner. Yeah, he got an amazing shot of a ship coming right over the Skywatch field, really low, came in really fast. He filmed it in slow motion. So we had a scientist out here, and he was checking. He did all the calculations on it, and he says, you know, this thing is going, according to my calculations, it's going 1,830 miles an hour. You know, so I get all this flack. Everybody goes, it's a bird, and I can prove it. You know, or I get all these attacks. That's a bug. You know, it's this and that. And you see the thing go all the way across the field, go all the way past Trout Lake, turn around, and start coming back. You know, so. To even see a bug or film a bug is impossible. And I know, to my knowledge, bugs and birds don't fly at 1,830 miles an hour, you know, unless they're shot out of a pellet gun or something, but not even that. But anyway, it's, you know, you hear these stories and
we were here then, and there was people, taking video.
Yeah.
I'd like to back James up on that. We were here, we were pulling into the driveway as that was being filmed, that visit. And then, right after that, there was a lot of people doing the same thing with their smartphone on that slow motion one, and James yourself as well. There was about 10 to 20 videos that were filmed in that just day or two after that as well with that
same mode, with multiple ships in them. So
daytime.
Well, we found out these ships are moving so fast, you don't even see them. You see a little blip go by so fast that your eyes wouldn't even recognize it. But if you slow the camera down and put your video on slow motion and start filming the mountain, all of a sudden you see all these ships moving around and you're going. And so what I did is I went out and I filmed eagles, hawks, vultures, ravens, robins, everything in slow motion to see if it would be blurry or if it'd be hard to distinguish or whatever. And, you know, it's obvious. You see the wings, it's flying, it's just flying in slow motion. And these things don't have wings, and some of them do have an antenna at about a 45-degree angle, and so when they're moving, it's kind of a blur, and so it makes you think that it's a bird, that it's one of its wings, but it's not. It's the structure of the ship and the antenna that's coming off the back at a 45-degree angle. But
people have to start looking closer. Have you seen this app? There's we just had a friend of ours be tricked by this. There's this UFO camera app now. And with all the smartphones out there, this thing will put a little tiny UFO in the frame, like a little like saucer in the frame. And you've got people sharing these on Facebook.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, we better be very. It's good to be diligent.
Definitely.
But it's but there are certain things that defy, you know.
Well, the past couple nights, I mean, you've seen some amazing things in the sky. Maybe you can talk about some of the things you've just seen here.
The past
couple nights.
I just want to make kind of like one more comment about that, the cover up real quick, because we experienced regarding that event we talked about last year. That came into a book out in May. It came out in June, I believe. And I was in the row with other doctors and very prominent A-level speakers in Japan. And the book was, it came out with no problem because the doctor who organized the event, a scientist, she's a scientist, she's very high, really respected in the field and has a good rapport with the publisher. But I found out then later that 2 months before that book came out, I was named in full-blown libel. This was, I could have gone to court on this with saying this guy who is involved with the disinfo part of this, they're actually now using drones in Japan to mimic our contact work. And we've had this been, I'm going to be releasing that finally this year, but they knew I was going to be talking about that. So they try and cut you off and they named me by name and they were saying this event was our drones. So at the same time, it's an amazing confession that they're faking faking these sightings for TV and stuff to suppress the real contact. And then, then they'll also use their mudslinging to throw it on people, the real researchers like us. You know, so I've got this file of, you know, how do you say, like these, our file of this info file from Japan media, and it's getting, sometimes it's getting closer to the companies we've been working with. So we have, we've had to face some hard decisions lately about who we're going to continue to keep working with and stuff. So then this trip has been really great. We had a, you know, we came in with our smaller group this time, and we've had a bunch of amazing, as usual, amazing sightings. And And I think people, one of the ladies last night had, she was looking through the scope as the craft flashed directly at her. And I think people are, each person has had their own kind of direct encounter with the craft using the lasers and the night vision and stuff. And more than that, you know, of course they feel the energy. So it's, we're really on the fast track to opening up the light body. You know, opening up those, clearing out all the old wounds and trauma and everything. That's really being fast track. Thanks to Paige this morning for guiding us to that great meditation, or showing us that great spot. And we all connected into the elemental. And we all connected into the vortexes, and what's amazing.
A lot of people are having Bigfoot sightings again, and they're hearing Bigfoot stand right next to them and breathing heavy and things like that. So the elementals are coming through, the gnomes and fairies, and the photographs are just phenomenal that people are getting here. But it's just another aspect to the multidimensional universe that we live in that humans are just kind of out of sync with. You know, we need to get back in sync. There's some other things I wanted to cover. The You know, my take on this thing right now I'm seeing is that, you know, these beings are, they've been around forever. They're all throughout ancient history. They've been recorded throughout ancient history. They have extreme technology. They have fearless energy. They have replicators. They have anti-gravity, counter-gravity, all of these things. They have devices that can cure, you know, the worst forms of cancer, everything. They have all this technology. And we're becoming privy to some of this technology right now. It's not the ETs dropping off. It's ETs inspiring other people to build these technologies, which we're working with and bringing to SETI. But, you know, it's not that far out. But I've seen over and over that the war on disease profiteers and the people that are enslaving people through dependency, that has to go. And until that goes, these things are going to have a hard time coming out. They're going to come out anyway, regardless. But what I'm seeing over and over is as soon as the war on disease profiteers are, and as soon as they clean up there's a multidimensional cleanup going on. The whole draconian grid is collapsing right now, and a whole new grid is taking its place. And the higher dimensional beings, the Palladians, Andromedans, and all of them are working together. Orion Council of Light, the Sirians, they're all working together, and they're working together with the White Hats here on the physical level. And so which gets into, you know, the latest news where
about the Mail magazine.
Mass media is just doing a full-blown assault now on Q and the White Hats and the other people. But to me, it's like they always say, like, any coverage is good coverage. You know, that's what the industry says. So they're just cutting their own throats, and they're just looking like imbeciles, you know, when they get up there. But I'm writing an article right now for the newsletter. So if you want to get the latest article, I'm going to cover all this stuff, and just go to to esteti.org and check that out. But anyway, there's so much going on. It's I think that's one of the real reasons why this hasn't come out. And soon as the controllers, the war on disease profiteers, and the global elite, which are actually influenced by these other unseen forces, and which is why there's so much inhumanity on the planet right now, because there's so much non-human influence. Once this goes down, we're going to see a whole new renaissance in all of this technology, the healing technology. Everything is going to come forward, and very quickly, you know, in a very quick way.
Definitely. I wanted to say that there was the Mail magazine you put out, I think, at the end of last year. We totally were on the same page with, and, you know, during winter, we're not really that much in touch, but we were completely feeling the same thing, where this sort of ascension stage one is over. We've crossed into a new energetic that's, you know, it's all moving in that same direction, but there's been, I think, way less interference in the last 9 months, in a palpably less. And then we have all these projects that are what we used to be, take all the focus, you know, several months to complete. We now is now just one of five things on the plate, you know, in front of you. It seems like it's much easier to, these projects are being protected, and our pace is really picking up. So that was a really awesome confirmation to get. Right on February, yeah, we were in Sedona. We did our first retreat out there too, and that was your Mail magazine was there, and then Lisa Renee commented about that. It's like this huge, you know, this kind of we process for alliance, and yeah, we're on the same page with that.
Well, recently too, we've had like all these planets are lined up on the other side of the sun, and then Mars is.
Hot.
It's
direct. Retrograde.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But it's close.
Yeah. And then the sun is going nuts. I mean, the sun is just cranking out more UVs than we've ever seen before. So we're getting bombarded by cosmic rays. Gamma rays are off the scale. The Schumann resonance is off the scale. It's all over the place. And so we're in the cooker right now. And a lot of the Vedic astrologers are saying that, you know, we're in the cooker right now. There's going to be a lot of fire, a lot of earthquakes, a lot of explosive, you know, revelations happening, everything coming to the surface. And what I've seen is there's a lot of people that just aren't doing very well with these energies, and they're losing it. And people you really thought, you know, were on, you know, pretty highly advanced people are just, are, you know, acting like little children. And, you know, we've had, you know, it's so sad, because what I've seen over and over again is there's this Archon network, and people in air are plugging into this Archon network, and the Archon network is feeding through their unresolved issues, their wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experience, and also the desire to be famous and wealthy and things like that, you know, and kind of stepping out of your integrity to do so. I've been seeing that on such a high level, and all that, the masks are coming down, and this is all coming out. And I don't want to say this in judgment. I'm just saying that we all need to step back and with brutal honesty and take a look at who we are and what we're doing. And does it align with universal law? You know, what's our come from? Because a lot of people, they get hooked by this Archon energy, and all of a sudden they think they have this noble virtue, this self-righteous position. You know, but they're doing a lot of destruction out there. And so, you know, to me, you can't say I love, you know, humanity and I love the planet, but I'm going to take out everybody that doesn't agree with me, or anybody I feel does not measure up to my standards or whatever. And we're seeing a lot of that. And the good news is that the masks are all coming down. Everything is being exposed right now. You know, all the politicians are being seen for what they are. Not all of them. There are some good ones out there. And, you know, the music industry, Hollywood, all this stuff is being seen. You know, it's replete with satanic worship and you know, ceremonies and ritual and pedophiles and everything. All this stuff is coming up for everybody to see. Now, what I'm seeing right now, it's really interesting, is that there are a lot of groups out there that are pointing fingers, and there's one finger going out and three fingers going back. And now the pedophiles are screaming and yelling and attacking the people that are trying to put an end to this, and, you know, the sexual predators and everything else. They're attacking the very people that have been supporting you know, the Divine Feminine and supporting the cleaning up of the pedophile movement, especially Mary and the Higher Masters are very involved in this. And they act like they're doing the work of God or something like that, but they're actually attacking the very people that have been working against this for so long to bring light into the subject and clean this area up. And I'm seeing this on a mass scale right now. And so a lot of we have to really step back and really with brutal honesty and look at our come from. Where are we coming from with this? Are we really coming from a loving, joyous, powerful, manifesting God or goddess? Or are we coming from a very wounded space, you know, where we want, you know, others to pay, we want justice, you know, but, you know, maybe, you know, forgiveness might be a better path, you know, maybe, yes, bring this up, you know, bring up the truth. But we can't do it from a victim role. And I'm seeing this over and over again. You know, victims are very unattractive. I hate to say that, but it is true. You know, like, you know, somebody that's owning their stuff, taking responsibility, know there's a co-creation going on. To me, it's amazing, you know, and I'm with them 100% to get through that process. You know, but when they shift into that other mode, and I'm seeing this on a huge scale, and they think they're self-righteous or they're divinely motivated to do these things, you know, I have to like double take and go, wait a second, you know, all I'm seeing is, you know, excuse my language, all I'm seeing is piss and vinegar coming out of this person, you know. How can they call that spiritual? And so there needs to be a major rethink on this thing. You know, where's the come from? What is your real goal? You know, what is the real motive behind what you're doing? And where does that come from? You know, what's it, you know, is it coming from a wounded kid that you know, it's trying to get their power back or what is it? You know, what program are you running here? And so I'm seeing these old programs are not running anymore. You know, if you're not creating heaven on earth, if you're creating a lot of division and separation, you know, we need to reevaluate that. And so I think it's good to clear these energies up. It's good to take a good look at, you know, we definitely got to put into this whole pedophile program. It's nonsense. The child trafficking, all of that stuff needs to come to an end. But what I'm seeing in the big picture is the lamestream news and all these guys are attacking the very people that are trying to put an end to this stuff. And the ones that are screaming the loudest and yelling the loudest are the ones that are most guilty, you know. So it's just gotten crazy. So we're seeing opposites, you know, we're in the age of opposites. Everything's being amplified. And we need to really look back and see if we want to jump into this craziness or pull back and say, I'm just going to hold space and focus on love and joy and bliss and focus on healing and helping those who want to go forward and heal and clear this energy up. Or do I want to pick up a sword and just create mass destruction, you know, on the planet? And I think those are the choices we're all getting right now.
Yeah, I agree completely. I didn't really follow politics in Japan a whole lot, but this year was that what you're exactly saying came right up into everyone's faces with this whole Prime Minister Abe and his Moritomo scandal. It's been in the news a little bit here, but this is like groundbreaking, so earth-shattering. Like there was discoveries made, all these disclosures made in the Japanese Parliament, and there were a bunch of politicians just saying, when are you going to step down? Step down now. A lot of the Japanese usually look at that politics and that scandal very objectively. But this time it was right in everyone's faces where the old boys network was, they were stonewalling. And it was just like, the more they stonewalled, the more they're falling off their own rocker. You know, they wouldn't budge, but it's what if you're not hiding anything, why won't you have this person testify? And they had people testifying who wouldn't say anything about certain topics, and it was this whole long drawn out thing it's never been anything like that. They're calling this like one of the biggest political incidences post war. You know, that's all being shoved up to the front of the mass.
It's global. Media. I mean, this whole, you know, I was told a long time ago, when is this stuff going to end? You know, when is this insanity going to end with all the child trafficking, the pedophile, the abuse, everything? I said, this has just gotten so insane. And this was back in, I think it was way back in past September or something like that. I think And I kept hearing, the Pleiadians kept talking to me, and they said, you know, and I had Mary talking to me too, and she said that, you know, she said, we're coming in strong, and we have a plan, you know. So, and then they kept showing me this letter Q, which was really bizarre. And I go, what the hell is Q? I've talked about this before. I go, why do I keep seeing this Q? You know, is this Q the omnipresent guy in Star Trek that can just snap his fingers and fix it, or what is this, you know? And then I finally find out later on that Q is a group of white hats that are actually working in conjunction with the Pleiadians and other beings to clean up this multidimensional network, this Archon or Draconian grid, so we can finally be free. And so now I'm watching the lamestream media just attacking them relentlessly. And the guys screaming the loudest, you look at their past and look at their history, especially in the news anchors and the music industry and the movie industry. These guys are all known pedophiles, and they're being exposed on a huge basis. So, you know, it's getting pretty crazy out there. So it's really important not to, you know, I always tell people, where did your belief system come from? You know, we have to think about this. You know, we've been conditioned. There's Project Mockingbird. There's other technologies. There's cell phones, Wi-Fi, satellites, all these things broadcasting all this crazy energy.
Face recognition.
Yeah, yeah. And so all that stuff is going on right now. Yeah. And, you know, we go to the news and they tell us what's happening, what's going on. And unfortunately, we get programmed by that. We get conditioned by it. And so we have to start backing up and develop our own what I call BS meter or inner sensitivity, and get out in nature more, and then you can sense the energy or the frequency of these people and what their real goals are. And until we do that, we're just going to be led down this very dark path of social, economic, even environmental collapse, which is where they want to take us, where the dark hearts want to take us. So it's so important now to just realize, where did you get your belief structure from? You know, where did you, you know, how were you conditioned? And realize everything isn't what you think it is. And you might be doing, you know, believing the opposite of what's really happening.
I think, too, something that people have got to remember is, when all this comes out, how we react is up to us.
Yeah.
So we can't just be hateful and like, you're going to be a bit keyed off, but we can't be like, you know, vultures and just totally destroy anything. It's up to us when that comes, and especially the people that aren't awakened, we're each other's guides, and from that point it's up to us how we react. And like the Pleiadians told me, that it's, you're only going to gain access to that which you've got the level of consciousness that, you know, the level of consciousness has risen to. So you can keep going up technology and that, but your spiritual development isn't in line with that, you're not going to have access to it. So
exactly,
when we get to that point, it's really going to be like, you know, you're going to really rip everyone apart, or you're going to go, right, now we know what we can know in terms of truth, where do we go from here, and how do we evolve from here, rather than go into hate mode. But, you know, it's just, everyone's got their journey, but that's, you know, I think it's an important point that people take control of their actions and their thoughts.
We have to look at it with brutal honesty, you know. And again, go back to the come from. What's your driving force? Where's your come from? And are we dealing with old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions of past experience? Are we acting out childhood traumas where we've had our power taken away from us and we're trying to get it back? You know, it's like we have to really do a really hard look at this stuff and see where we're coming from. And I love that old saying, they said there's no perfect men, only perfect intentions, you know. And a lot of intentions that started out good and positive didn't turn out because you've got human egos and other things going on, and all you can do is the best you can. And as long as your intentions were high and you're doing the best you can, that's all that matters. But again, you don't have any control over somebody else's choices and where they go with things. Sometimes you have to make some hard decisions, you know, that it's time to make some big changes just for the whole organism, you might say, or for the planet, you know, for the whole planetary well-being.
And the overall collective, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for your presentation the other day too. Yeah. Thanks. Great to see the picture.
No, it was good to share it with you, and I hope they got something from it.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff I haven't shown publicly yet. I might do something private for everyone here as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot that I'll be revealing in the coming months that, I'm still trying to process some of it.
Well, you know, these documentaries we're working on and the people we have lined up are the people that are heart-centered, and they're really doing the work, the real work. And they're not in it for the money or the fame or anything else. They're in it because they really want to educate and assist humanity in the awakening and healing process. And because of that, they're getting the contacts and they're getting the footage and they're getting, I always tell people, if we're so screwed up here, why do we have Mary appearing in the conference building? Why do we have the ships flying over on a regular basis? Why do we have Babaji appearing here and all these other things, And so a lot of people, because of their conditioning, they want to throw stones, and they're conditioned that everything outside their box is evil or bad. And, we just have to let go of that and realize it's a big universe out there. It's multidimensional. We're multidimensional beings. We're not just bodies and personalities. And there's a much bigger picture, and we don't need to be fighting over scraps anymore. We're programmed and conditioned, to compete. And we live in an abundant world. We just have to, remove the controllers that are keeping that from happening.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely on the way. We've got a few minutes left. Do you have any other major projects or anything you want to talk about while you're on the show? Or?
No, I'll be here for a while. Who knows how long? You might not get rid of me. But we've got the two documentaries at the moment. I'm doing sessions from here as well. As you all got a lot of sessions you got going on as well. But I filmed some daytime stuff the other day. There's actually been two crafts that I've seen during the day since I've been here. One of them I was able to get on film, which we've still got to put up. But it's really been a lot of contact going on here, not just to myself, but everyone that's been here. They got something going on. But when we've all been out on the Field of Dreams with the Skywatch, it's like a couple of nights ago was just ballistic, the amount of stuff, the craft on the mountain that landed. And but to get some daytime stuff was great because, people are going, how come you haven't got any daytime stuff at the ranch? And like I told you, I've seen an awesome flying saucer that came over this hall one day, but by the time you get the camera out, it's gone. Too late.
Yeah. That stuff is hard to film. Yeah.
And I got taken on the crafts the other night. They pulled me out of my body in the bedroom. And it's really a good space for, when you're in environments like this, it's easier for the beings to come down and do a lot more. But like you say, you've got to rise to the occasion to meet them halfway.
Mm.
So really, this is really amped things up right now. What's going on here, definitely.
Well, that boomerang craft that you just shot out there, that's the same kind of craft that Kenneth Arnold saw when they landed on the western slopes.
Yeah, nine of them on Mount the western slopes,
And that's right where we are. We're looking right at Mount Adams. So
UFO
there's,
day. That's become UFO day, right?
Yeah, it has.
Really, I didn't know that was called UFO
day. Peter walks outside as soon as he gets here and grabs a camera. And next thing you know, he's got this boomerang craft phasing in and out. like amazing. He's got quite a lot of other footage, a lot of night footage. I kind of just turned my camera over to him because he's so good at it, I've got a lot of footage too, but he has the knack and for getting the daylight stuff. We have some daylight stuff, but not a lot. But anyway, there's some people, that are just gifted and they've got the knack, and we need to respect that and honor that and support it.
We've been filming a lot of the scenery here. We've done a lot of interviews with you and stuff, and we got a comment thanks yesterday from you, both of you guys. But we've also trying to make we're making an image video this time of so people can meditate. It's like simulating being in the circle and simulating being in the field. So we've gotten some great time lapse stuff in the last few days.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best time of year to film that, I think. And then when you film that, you start to slow it down, you'll see all the stuff that's like the super high rate of speed, craft that are moving around in there. So we were at a screening event last year, and I had this clip that I had shot here a few years ago, and looking at the mountain in the broad daylight, and it's a perceptual thing too, where unless it's the time, you won't see it. But then all of a sudden you looking at this frame, and I had filmed an orb pop out of the ether and just fly right in front of the camera. You know, so I looked at that clip several, you know, a dozen times, and then just this one time you realize, you know, you see that one bit that's there. So it's all of the stuff we have as an archive is even deeper than we realize. You know, once we have the time to actually go through it and comb through it, there's a lot of stuff hidden in there.
Yeah.
Like you said, Peter, there was the beam that you filmed was actually blinking, like someone else found that, right?
Yeah.
Like there's so much that's in there that if you go back over to it, even log it and look back later, you're just like, you know, what the hell? But it happens. This is going on. Like I was in Italy, and I told the Japanese TV in Italy, where the craft, what time, what it was going to do, where we had to go to see it, and it's exactly, you know, 20 minutes this thing was filmed for. Here, you know, Bali, when I was in Bali, it just, this stuff's worldwide, everywhere, you know, it's crazy, so it's happening everywhere, and we're not the only ones, but it just seems that the media just don't want to, you know, they don't want to deal with it, or they want to disregard it.
Well, you know, they're controlling the narrative, and they're controlling the funds and things like that, and I see people getting behind people in the industry that really, you know, they should do some major research before they start funding these things. But I've seen that over and over again, and that is the deal. The mainstream media is connected to the Illuminati, and the Illuminati are connected to other dimensional beings that are non-human, and they've got the narrative, they've controlled the narrative, and the people that get the podium and they get the most airtime, you might say, are not really the ones we need to be following. And again, you know, we can all make our own personal connection with Source, you know, God, Creator, Spirit, whatever you want to call it. And we can also have our own contact. And when you do take the time and do your meditation, your spiritual practices, the clearing practices, pretty soon you realize that these beings that you're seeing are really you. And and you know, they're your ancestors, that you were them, and now they're returning, and they're waiting for us to rise up and reconnect with them. And they're not here to come down and shake us, you know, and pull our brains out and throw them in the dishwasher and put them back in again. You know, that's our job. You know, we have to do that. But you know, they're waiting, you know, and they're not going to trespass on free will. And the good news is the ones that have been trespassing on free will are being removed. They're being taken out. So we can, you know, connect with the more benevolent ones that are coming in now.
We've gotten the message to put the shields down and be an open target for these kind of Archon beings, because then there's being the guardian beings are in the wings ready for like an arrest. You know, it's like,
yeah,
the tables have turned 180 degrees, you know. Uh-huh.
I've seen, and I've talked about this a lot, and it's finally coming out. A lot of these people that have been in the field are realizing that the people they've been working with are not who they thought they were.
They're saying,
yeah,
talk
so
about
that's,
Gaia
that's
TV.
Happening quite a bit. And I've seen a lot of these people coming
saying,
up to me.
Talk about that right now.
Yeah, they
talk
try. They want me to get on board with it, and I've never gotten on board with them because I saw the entities they're working with, and they weren't benevolent. A lot of them were grays, a lot of them were tall grays that were gray reptilian hybrids and reptilians. And you know, J.J. Hertek, everybody's talked about this. The first contacts are not going to be positive. And that is the case. You know, the ones making the move right now are not positive, but they are being removed, and the benevolent ones are coming in. So we still need to use discernment. And, you know, by their fruits, you'll know them. You know, look at the work they're doing. You know, look at their deeds, you know, not just words, but look at their deeds as well. So, you know, there's an old saying, a man or woman's character is established by their actions. And, you know, we can't, the words don't mean anything if there's no action to follow it. So anyway, we've got basically 1 minute left. Anything, final words, anybody wants to say on the?
No, just the thank you for all you're doing, both of you.
Thanks,
yeah. Yeah, just follow at PeteMaxwellSlattery.com as well, and I'm doing sessions in person and over Skype, and just support my music as well. I was number 2 on the charts before I left Australia, actually.
All right.
Which is pretty cool.
What's your artist name?
Oh, PeteMax. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
You got
Jay
City. Yeah, we have jcity.org. We have an English tab up there now, and we're going to be putting up more stuff, more videos. We'll have a 10-year archive. So we're hoping to do an event with the return of James with Peter to Japan, hopefully next year. We'll make sure he has time to sleep off the jet lag this time and get out of Tokyo. That's the next, get out of the city into the real nature.
I know, the camera crews are waiting. I got off the plane, there's camera crews waiting. I'm going, oh, God, I got this, you know. But anyway, the and you know, go to eastcity.org and look out for the new documentaries that'll be coming out. And also, don't forget Soltech that's coming up here next week. It's going to be an amazing gathering. You can go to eastcity.org or eastcityevents.com to find out more about that. But anyway, you know, stay in the heart. You know, keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent. And you know, watch your energies, watch your intentions, and you're come from. Get really clear on where you're coming from, because it's going to be very important. Because everything's accelerating. You know, karma's a B when it comes back to hit you. So think long and hard, you know, before you, you know, trespass on anybody else. Anyway, so have a great evening. We're signing off. You know, watch the skies again, stay in the heart, and create heaven on earth. That's what we're here for. Anyway,
thanks, guys.
Good night.
Thank you.